There are some patients that are just itching to come to urgent care. Hello and welcome to this week's Urgent Bite, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose and today we are talking urticaria. Dr. Amanda Oakley is a consultant dermatologist at Waikato Hospital in Hamilton and an adjunct associate professor at Auckland University. She is also the founder of dermnetnz.org, the online dermatology library of which I'm sure you are all aware. We have recorded a few podcasts, which will be going up over the coming weeks, but to start with, we have a quick look at urticaria. And we're talking dermatology that presents through an urgent care clinic and one skin condition which usually drives somebody to get seen urgently is urticaria. How would you define urticaria and what is it?
So urticaria is a group of conditions that are characterized by the presence of wheals. And a wheal is defined as a skin swelling which is changed or gone within 24 hours. We differentiate acute urticaria from chronic urticaria. You may see both in an urgent care situation because chronic urticaria fluctuates and can have more severe flares. So taking history is important as to the duration, not only of the wheals, but also of the condition. And patients can find that quite difficult to understand, that we're trying to work out how long has that particular red, swollen patch of skin been present. Is it a matter of minutes, which might be a inducible urticaria, such as dermographism, hours, which might be a spontaneous urticaria, days, when you're not dealing with urticaria at all, and whether the condition has been present a few hours, a few days, a few weeks, and if greater than 6 weeks, it becomes reclassified as chronic. Chronic urticaria is the presence of either spontaneous or inducible wheals for more than 6 weeks, and acute is less than that. We don't consider anaphylaxis as a form of urticaria, rather that anaphylaxis has urticaria as one of its features. So most people presenting with acute urticaria do not have systemic features. Most cases of acute urticaria are of unknown cause. In those where the cause is identified, the most common reason is an infection. Everybody knows that drugs can cause acute urticaria. But actually, it's not as common as the morbilliform eruption from drugs. So something like 75 to 80% of drug eruptions are the morbilliform, and only 5% are acute urticaria. And that can be very confusing because the patient presents with a history of a sore throat, they had some antibiotics, and now they've got a rash. Is the antibiotic the cause of the rash, or is the disease the infection? And that's not something you can tell immediately, but it is slightly more likely to be the infection. So acute urticaria sometimes doesn't respond to any treatment at all. It just has to do its thing over a few days. We treat with non-sedating antihistamines, either cetirizine or loratadine or fexofenadine. There is no role for the old-fashioned sedating antihistamines. I'm often asked whether we should be using prednisone, and that is sometimes done for a short period of time. So we're talking about 40 milligrams of prednisone for 5 days max. The guidelines say that can be repeated on a single occasion. They do not say that continuous prednisone should be prescribed in acute urticaria. The dose of antihistamines is generally is often too little. So the standard dose of antihistamine is 10 milligrams of loratadine, 10 milligrams of cetirizine, or 180 milligrams of fexofenadine, but it may not be sufficient, and up to four times standard dose is safe and can be prescribed for urticaria with greater efficacy. It works within 15 minutes, so patients can self-dose. I often say, well, you can take one or two, once or twice a day, no more than four in 24 hours, and they quickly get the hang of it. So if the four times dose isn't working, nothing's going to work, and we just have to wait for it to settle down or become chronic, when clearly they probably should be referred to a dermatologist for further treatment, which I will mention here, although it's not in the acute care realm. We use immune suppressing treatments such as cyclosporin and methotrexate. Cyclosporin is more efficacious than methotrexate. And if those are not sufficient, we add a new drug funded on special authority, which is called omalizumab, one of these monoclonal antibody drugs.
So it's interesting there, you say that increase the dose of loratadine rather than swap to the sedating ones, the promethazines and the older style. You'd rather go higher with the non-sedating.
Yes, the older guidelines have removed sedating antihistamines from management of urticaria, and MedSafe is keen that you don't prescribe them because of their anticholinergic effects.
And oral steroids can be used in short courses in the severe, for patients with significant symptoms, would you say, rather than any other? It's not, as you say, there's no connection between someone with a skin condition like urticaria. They're not going to, it's seen alongside anaphylaxis, but if someone's had this for days, they're not going, you don't need to be on steroids from concern of them progressing to an anaphylactic reaction.
Correct.
And in terms of causes, if we're presuming a lot of them might be infection related, patients might want to know what the cause is, and they might say, can you not do tests? But it's a needle in a haystack, I guess, and tests
yes.
are not necessarily needed.
The guidelines say that you should take a history and your tests should be guided by the concomitant symptoms rather than the urticaria itself. Generally, we might do a blood count. That's about it.
And in terms of a trigger for this, if it's something that somebody that you suspect, but it's something that somebody has used before, you've mentioned that contact dermatitis can have a repetitive contact makes a reaction more likely. So is that the same with urticaria, that it may be the 10th time you've been exposed to something that you react, or is it generally the first time that you might have that?
If we're talking about food, most reactions are not immunological. It's a complex matter, but both can be true. So it could occur with the first exposure if it's a non-allergic form of urticaria, or it might require one or more exposures to trigger it.
So from a historical point of view, somebody who says this occurred after this happened, but I've done that before, therefore it can't be, that doesn't exclude it if it's not the first exposure.
It's correct, and there's no easy testing available. The anaesthetists at Waikato do the testing for anaesthetic drugs and for penicillin, I think. for urticaria, but it's very complicated, and generally if it matters, then they should see an allergist, not a dermatologist, funnily enough.
So in the acute setting, go with the loratadine, cetirizine, and increase the dosing. Don't go to the sedating. Consider steroids, and also consider just waiting it out, letting it run its course. So maybe telling patients not to expect an instant cure. It may take a few days. Sometimes people have recommended kind of cold wraps and cooling measures and those sorts of things. Are those symptom control, or do they help at all in the...
I think they do help the symptoms, yes, providing they don't have cold urticaria or aquagenic urticaria, where they'd be contraindicated.
My thanks to Amanda for talking with our podcast. We will be discussing more urgent dermatology presentations in the coming weeks. Now, in case there are some of you out there not familiar with DermNet, make sure you take a look at dermnetnz.org. It is a vast library of dermatology information, photographs, and CME opportunities that have been kept up to date, accurate, and are completely free. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, please email podcast@rnzcuc.org.nz. And we'll be back next week with another podcast. I look forward to seeing you all then. But for now, thanks for listening.